probably in the Adobe session, but I guess I would say we're trying to. Oh, you have it on there? Oh, look at that! Amazing. It's at my fingertips. Okay, so who's going to go first? Sorry, it's not loading here.
Okay.
All right, well, I guess I'll try and load it on my computer. And if you have it on your computer, I could actually just, if you have it on your computer, we can just plug yours in and we can go from there.
Okay, that's fine.
And without further ado, SAC 051. Thank you.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to present before you. My name is Steve Sheng. I'm an ICANN staff. So today, I'm going to briefly talk about the roadmap that we wrote to implement SAC 51 recommendations. So next slide, please. So to provide some context, I'm going to first quickly talk about what SAC 51 recommends. Then I'm going to talk about the current developments at the IETF, since part of the protocol development is an integral piece of this. Then I'm going to talk about the roadmap. Next slide. So here's the mandate from the board from 28th of August that direct the staff to produce a roadmap to implement SAC 51 and also to consult the community. So we post the draft version of the roadmap for public comment. The public comment will close, I think, on Monday this upcoming week. In addition, there will be a public session on Thursday at 1 p.m. Next slide, please. Next slide. So the SAC 51 domain name, who is terminology and structure, makes three recommendations. So the first recommendation is the ICANN community should adopt a terminology outlined in the SAC 51, which I'll go into detail in the next slide. The second recommendation is to evaluate and adopt a replacement domain name registration data access protocol that supports the query and display of internationalized registration data. So when ASAC work on this paper, the issue of internationalized registration data become a central focus, and the current WHOIS protocol's inability to support that. So that's the second recommendation. The third recommendation is to develop a uniform and standard framework for accessing the data. So those are the three recommendations. Next slide, please. So the terminology, the taxonomy that ASEC recommends is they want to separate the discussion on who is. You know, when people talk about who is, it could mean many things. So part of the goal is to clarify the terminology. They want to separate the data, the protocol, and the service. So those are the main goals. And to that extent, they propose three terms: domain name registration data, you know, as it means the who is data; the domain name registration data access protocol, as means either you provide that through the who is protocol, as specified by RFC 3912, or other protocols, even a web-based. And the third one is the registration data directory service that implements the protocol and provides access to the data. So that's the terminology ASEC recommends. Next slide. The ASEC also make a few observations about Whois. The first one is there's no uniform data model that exists for the data. So as a result, the data is displayed in different ways from different entities. The second observation is the protocol itself has no standard capacity for handling non-ASCII text. I think the protocol wrote this limitation in the specification itself. And the last one is the directory service does not satisfy legitimate needs for access of different granularities of data. So those are the three observations that led to the recommendations in the ASEC report. Next slide. So when staff tried to draft a roadmap to implement the ASEC recommendations, it became clear a replacement protocol needs to be developed in the IETFs. So we want to give you a quick preview of what's the current development at the IETF. Next slide. There's currently ongoing there's a mailing list set up called Worthwhile Extensible Internet Registry Data Services. It's called WIRDS. So this working group broadly aligned with the CRISP requirement. When in 2005, where the CRISP and IRIS was developed, and they based on a RESTful web service for easy implementability. So the RESTful is a kind of a set of almost like a fancy name for the web. So the service is delivered over HTTP and provide many benefits that offers. Next slide, please. So there was a buff in Taipei. And at that buff, there's strong agreement to do the work on internet numbers. So the RESTful Whois idea was first championed and developed by the RIRs, and then comes over to the domain side. There's a lot of skepticism about the work on domain names because there's at that time there's no registries or registrars willing to work on this. So the current status is there's no agreement on the proposed charter. There will be another BAF in Paris in 1 week, immediately after this meeting. So this is also an invitation for if someone from the registrar wish to participate in that effort, this is the link to do that. So, next slide. Next slide. So here's next slide, please. So I'm going to quickly talk about the ways to implement SAC 51. So the first recommendation is to adopt a new terminology, and for that, staff propose, we prepare a one-page summary of the terminology recommended by ASEC, and to be shared with various stakeholders and ASEC and staff. And then second is we propose a transition strategy where in the beginning the old term is used in conjunction with the new term, and eventually we phase out the old term. So that's the recommendation to implement the first SAC51 recommendation. Thanks. Next. So the second, which is the meat of the of that paper, discuss about a path forward to replace the WHOIST protocol. So, and then for that end, we propose a multi-pronged approach. So the first is we need to promote participation for both GTLD and ccTLD registries and registrars in the development of the new protocol in IETF. So that's the first step. On the policy side, there are three pieces. So the first one is initiate a GNSO PDP with CCNSO, ASAC, and ALAC participation on the replacement of the protocol. So that's the first option. The second option is to negotiate the inclusion of such provisions in GTLD registries and registrar contracts as appropriate. And the third piece is to promote adoption of the protocol within the ccTLDs, as those the WHOIST policy for ccTLDs is beyond the ICANN policy remit. So those are the three possible approaches, and then we recommend a multi-pronged approach to realize to make this happen. So next slide. So here's a draft timeline of the roadmap, and that includes the technical piece and the policy piece and the different methods. I think that concludes my presentation. Yeah.
I think we had at least one question, Michele.
Sure.
Thanks, Steve, for the presentation. I think you covered quite a lot in a very short period of time. So I'm not sure if we all fully kind of got everything you were talking about. On the IETF side of things, just going back to that, in the last couple of days, both yourself and a couple of others I know have been asking that they move forward with it, but some of the IETF don't want to. Is that a correct summary? So I've been trying to follow those discussions, but so many other mail lists I'm on.
Right. So currently the prevailing sentiment in IETF is, you know, the RIRs are ready to do the work, but there's not enough interest, you know, from their understanding from domain registries and registrars. So that's their sentiment. Thanks.
Okay. It might be helpful then if you were to send us a link to the mailing list or something where we can sign up and, you know, show a bit more interest, if there is interest.
Sure. I can do that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Hi.
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you all?
You have a deck?
No.
No, you don't?
No.
All right.
I don't.
Perfect.
I'll make it easy.
Well, just look at you. Thank you.
Go That's right good. Because understood, you wanted to hear a bit more about Thick WHOIS and IRTP. Is that right?
Sure.
I can talk about something else as well if you want.
Fake renewal notices. We could throw loads of things
at
you.
Yeah, yeah. Plenty of stuff to talk about.
We'll start with that.
Okay.
We'll come up with more later.
Okay. So I'll start with the Thick WHOIS. I think I've spoken about it probably already at the last meeting as well, but it's a topic that came up in the context of the conversations on the inter-registrar transfer policy, because from that context there was a realization that Thick WHOIS makes a lot of sense and would solve a lot of issues in the context of transfers. So one of the working groups there recommended to actually initiate a PDP on that topic by starting with the request for an issue report, because they also realized that even though it might make a lot of sense from a transfer perspective, there might be other areas that would need to be considered before requiring Thick WHOIS for all GTLDs. So basically the issue report was intended to, you know, outline basically pros and cons that a requirement for Thick WHOIS might have in view of a possible initiation of a PDP. So staff prepared this a preliminary issue report, highlighting some of the areas that we think should be considered should a PDP move forward. You know, looking at things like accessibility, but also looking at cost, data protection, privacy, transition. So there are a lot of areas that we need to be considered should a PDP move forward in order to be able to make an informed decision. So we had a public comment period on that, received quite a number of comments, some basically expressing their views on whether there should be thick or thin, or whether PDP should be initiated or not initiated, but also some comments that basically indicated some areas that should be enhanced or other elements that should be considered in the issue report. So on the basis of that, we produced a final issue report in which staff does recommend the initiation of a PDP, as it is in the remit of the GNSO as well as ICANN. And we also believe that a PDP would be helpful in really lighting up all the different issues that need to be considered in order to make an informed decision on whether or not to require thick WHOIS for all GTLDs. So that final issue report was submitted to the GNSO Council, and it's now up for a vote at the meeting coming Wednesday. So at that point, the Council will need to take a vote and decide on whether or not to move forward with the PDP. If they would decide to move forward, it means then the creation of a working group that then would really dig into all the issues and come up with the recommendation. If there's no support for the initiation of a PDP, that's basically where it stops, and it wouldn't move any further. So that's it on thick WHOIS.
Questions on thick WHOIS, James?
Thank you, Marika. And this is more of a question to our own councillors and our own delegation to the GNSO. From the RT4 presentation earlier, it looks like that RT4 and the GNSO are coming at the same issue, thick GTLDs, or thick WHOIS and GTLDs, from different directions. So I guess my question is, do you guys see these as incompatible? Are they stepping all over each other? If the PDP is initiated and then a month and a half later, the RT4 recommendations go to the board, and then the board hands down another PDP or tack something onto the charter of this one? Or I mean, how is this going to play out when we have different groups trying to solve the same problem simultaneously and they're kind of sort of talking past each other? Any thoughts or concerns? Because you're on the council. Okay, I guess that's okay then.
Mason, did you have a comment?
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't want to duplicate efforts, right? I mean, you don't want to duplicate efforts. What are you looking for?
Well, I guess I want to know which of the proposed responses or reactions do registrars prefer, if we see them as incompatible. And I think they are, but I'm kind of leaving that to the group. Are they incompatible, and if so, which one
right. Do
we prefer?
Yeah, that's the information I'd want. That's the information I would seek.
But maybe you can clarify what the RT4 recommendation is.
So RT4 recommendation is not to create, instead of tasking registries to become thick that are currently thin, the RT4 is proposing a centralized WHOIS portal, which is also mentioned, I think, in the RAA, that there could be this development of a centralized WHOIS. So taking the somewhat of the some of the burden away from registries and registrars and centralizing it with this this separate system. And then is asking specifically on, is that asking ICANN to take on an operational role? Do people, are people comfortable with that? Or, should it just be linked to existing WHOIS systems? So anyway, it's just something I think that, I think that there's two groups kind of working in isolation and they're not cross-pollinating very well.
Well, one thing the issue report does outline as well, that should a PDP be initiated, that is part of the chartering, that those kind of things would need to be taken into consideration, like other WHOIS efforts that might have an impact, such as the WHOIS review team, but also looking at, indeed, is the scope of this PDP limited to just looking at thick WHOIS, or are there other models that should be considered as part of that conversation? So the exact scoping would have to take place as well as part of that next step should a PDP move forward. But definitely the linking or conflicts or overlap with other initiatives was definitely highlighted as well in the issue report. No other questions? then maybe moving on.
And just to be clear, we're talking about three GTLDs, correct?
Correct.
Comnet and, help me with the other one, JOS.
Correct. But of course, if there would be, if an outcome would be a consensus policy, it would mean as well that, you know, those requirements would apply for any new GTLD that at any point
right.
in the second
that's
stage.
Already baked into the applicant guidebook, so we're really
right. But it might
about
be for you then have a consensus policy, okay. So it would apply in a similar way to all basically. So maybe then talking about the inter-register transfer policy, there I think you probably may be interested in some of the remaining items of the IRGP Part B. I think Brian already spoke to you about those recommendations that are currently in the process of being implemented, but there's still two recommendations that are making their way from the Genius Health Council now to the board, coming from IRGP Part B, and the first one relates to a new provision in the IRGP on the locking and unlocking of domain names. So as you know, one of the provisions was deleted. One of the reasons of denial was deleted in the IRGP, and the recommendation of the working group was that it should be replaced by a new provision that explains how domain names can be locked and unlocked. So as a result of that, staff was requested to provide a proposal of such a provision to the council, and we developed that together with the working group. It was then approved by the GNSO Council, and the proposal itself basically inserts a new provision in the IRGP, and the two main elements to that provision. It basically requires registrars to provide the information on how locking and unlocking occurs in the registration agreement and ensure informed consent from the registrant when that happens. And secondly, that once or when a registrant requests the unlocking of a domain name, that needs to happen within a maximum of 5-day period. So those recommendations were then as well put out for public comment, and they're on the agenda for board approval this Friday. So following that, it will move over to the services department, and they'll work on the implementation, and you'll receive the notice in time. And then there's another recommendation that as well went through the same path. There was a realization as well that there might be a need to actually have a clarification and standardization of who is status messages relating to registrar lock, as well helping to end users to understand when their domain name is locked, what it means, what they can do to change that, who is responsible for actually changing that. So we there as well provided the staff proposal for that recommendation that basically explains how registrars will then be required with each of the status values to actually provide a link that then links to a page which provides the detailed explanations for each of the lock statuses. So that's the second proposal that took a little bit longer because there was some good discussion in the GNSO Council. So that proposal was approved by the GNSO Council and is now out for public comment. I think it's open until the 25th of March. So if you have any further comments on that proposal, please submit those. And then following that, it will go to the board for consideration. And then maybe one last thing on the IRGP. There's already an IRGP Part C ongoing, and they're actually having an open face-to-face working group tomorrow morning from 8:30 to 10. So anyone interested in the issues that are being covered in that working group, it's one, it's looking at a change of control process. Secondly, it's looking at time-limiting FOAs. And thirdly, looking at requiring the use of IANA IDs. So if you're interested in any of those issues or would like to contribute, feel free to come by. I think it's next door in La Paz B. Any other questions?
Thanks. Questions? Seeing none, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Okay. I think Margie is still tied up at another commitment, so I'll cover the update on the IRA final issue report. So we have some slides on that, which I think.
File name was?
It's from
Is that it?
Okay, go ahead. One more, I think. Right? So as you know, there has been a two-track process in terms of considering proposed amendments to the RIA. The first has been the bilateral negotiations, which I think you're all very familiar with. You know, the status report, for those in the audience have not had a chance to review, there was a status report on the negotiations that was published on March 1st that basically gives an update on all the proposed amendment topics that are on the table, including the 12 law enforcement agency recommendations and additional amendments that have been raised both by the drafting team report and those by the registrars. The status is on the terms of whether there's been agreement in principle and or in language. So I encourage those of you who have not had a chance to view it, that gives you the up-to-date status of the negotiations. In addition, as you know as well, the board requested a GNSO PDP on remaining issues in terms of proposed amendment topics for the RIA. The final issue report was published on March 6th. We'll provide you with a brief update here now, right now. So, next. Okay. Now that the report has been published, the current status is that the GNSO is to conduct a board-mandated PDP on an expedited basis on any remaining issues that are not covered in the current bilateral negotiations. One of the things the GNSO is to consider is to, that since the negotiations are ongoing and are continuing, is whether the PDP would be commenced after negotiations are conclude if any of the topics that are currently on the table are not adequately or satisfactorily addressed. GNSO also is to consider prioritization of the current work and new work, given several other PDPs and pending PDPs that are currently under consideration. In addition, taking into account the overlap with current other policy projects such as WHOIS, EDRP, best practices, and uniformity of contracts. In terms of the final report, the specific staff recommendations are that the GNSO Council acknowledge receipt of the final issue report as requested by the board. The GNSO Council to initiate a PDP upon a report that the RIA negotiations have been concluded or report that any of the proposed amendment topics are no longer actively being negotiated or if the board were to instruct or to proceed with the PDP on any of the proposed amendment topics. Okay. And for more information, the final issue report, as I said, was published on March 6th. You have the RIA status report. It was published on March 1st. For further developments, I know Margie has been working on updating the community wiki on the RIA. And for any information or presentation slides that have been produced for this particular meeting here in Costa Rica, will also be posted on the website. So, okay. Any questions? No? Questions?
McKelly?
Well, since you are up at the mic, I thought I might as well. In terms of timelines, what are we looking at? Are we looking at a case of the bilateral negotiations drawing to a close and then you launch a PDP? Or are you looking at launching a PDP at the same now or what? Sure. I did have a look at this report and some of it seemed to be stuff that we covered, I thought, like 18 months ago, mm-hmm. which confused me a small bit, but I'm easily confused.
Sure. No, I can understand that. The staff recommendation, and again, it's up to the board to decide, GNSO Council to decide when to initiate the PDP. And technically, since it was requested by the board under the bylaws, they are to initiate a PDP once the final issue report is published. However, the staff recommendation in this particular case, because there are ongoing negotiations and because of the progress, significant progress that has been made, our recommendation is that the PDP not be initiated until the negotiations are concluded. And then if indeed there are any of those 24 original topics that were in the preliminary issues report are either unaddressed or have been no longer actively negotiated, that perhaps then would be the subject matter of any PDP and or, again, if the board were to request any additional items to be covered.
Okay, but what about, for example, if an issue that wasn't addressed in the negotiations was something that, involving that wonderful ICANN metaphor, the picket fence, Because, I mean, some things are not subject to consensus policy, whereas a PDP can only bind on consensus policies, whereas other stuff has to go in a contract.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one thing I suppose that I could see as being a potential issue would be that something that would be fall within the remit of the contract isn't addressed for whatever reason, and then the people are trying to shove it into a PDP, or that they manage to make a PDP much, much longer than it could be by endlessly discussing why this particular item wasn't addressed.
So you're asking what would happen with those issues? Okay. I mean, the PDP is to cover, or in the scope of the negotiations, are those 24 amendment topics that were in the preliminary issue report, along with what has been currently on the table with the negotiations, the bilateral negotiations that are taking place. And so I think what is, you know, anything to be considered for any PDP that's initiated after the final negotiations would depend on what, if any, issues are remaining out of those negotiations. And or if the board were to, again, come back and say there are some remaining issues that it would like to see addressed, that it doesn't feel it was addressed in the negotiations.
So basically everything goes back to the board?
I wouldn't say that, I don't think. I mean, it's... I can't answer that question. Okay.
Thanks.
Anything else? Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
We spoke too soon. Volker.
Yes, maybe just one small addendum from members of the negotiation team. We have long held the conviction and supported a PDP for the issues that we don't believe belong in the RAA, and therefore this process, as it has been proposed now, sounds very much like the process that we would have proposed anyway.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks.
And I think next on our agenda, right on time, thank you for making that so fast. I believe we have the joint registrar meeting. So we'll wait for our registry friends to join us, and in the intervening period, feel free to stretch.
Hey, Graham.
Yes?
Do you expect you'll need more room at the table?
Do I expect that we'll need more room at the table?
For the registry guys.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if we, I mean, you know, I don't think you have to move if that's the question. Sure, why not? Yeah.